Before we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us in the language of our hearts, that we may hear your word with understanding and answer your call with confidence. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the first 14 verses. You can follow along on page 806 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. They were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from my graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading this day comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, the first 12, 13 verses. Let us listen now for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I bring you today, Dry Bones, Hopeful Spirit, a sermon by Randy Harris, read by Courtney Stevens. I feel like I'm reading an audiobook. I'm so grateful it's Pentecost, because Lord have mercy, I need the Holy Spirit to help channel some Randy here. So let's have some fun with this, shall we? Randy doesn't know about you, but there are times when he thinks he can feel Ezekiel's pain. The great prophet of the Babylonian exile is looking out on a situation that to any reasonable person would be a picture of despair. His homeland is ruined, the beloved temple destroyed, their leaders toppled by a foreign occupying force, and his people sent away to a faraway land where they are forbidden to be who they are. At the time, the Babylonians were the mightiest empire on earth, and the people of Israel held little hope that there would be any return to the way things used to be. That's the setting for Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, a metaphor for the desolation he sees around him. He hears a voice of God asking him, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And his answer betrays his despairing uncertainty. "O Lord God, you know," which is another way of saying, "I don't know, I have no idea." At this moment, he says, "I have no idea whether your people will be able to rise from this place of suffering, of despair, or not. Can these bones live?" Randy thinks that's a question we'll all reckon with at one point or another, as we look out at the world in all its terrible beauty and wonder, whether there is hope that we will rise beyond the brokenness and alienation around us. I confess, when there are times that I wonder, I think of the dry bones in Manchester and now in London, where bombs and cars are used to take young lives, as cowardly terrorists wage their war on the innocent and defenseless. I think of the dry bones in Kabul, where another bomb went off this week that killed nearly 100 people and wounded hundreds more. And then another bomb at a funeral yesterday, and of the families and communities who come to see that sort of devastation as normal. I think of the dry bones of racism here in the United States, where a noose was found at the Museum of African American History in Washington, D.C. this past week, and then another one after the first. And what that must feel like to a young black child, or for his parents to see such a despicable thing in that place of proud heritage. Dry bones. I think of the dry bones of illness in a families and loved ones who are reckoning with bad news or watch and wait for diagnosis. I think of the dry bones of this warming world and the worry we share for the future of our home here in this part of God's creation and the growing concern that our efforts to change, even when they aren't selfishly or short-sightedly resisted, will be too little too late. I think about the dry bones of those whose work seems to be nothing but struggle and frustration, a daily grinding down of life for which there seems little hope for improvement and a little option to change. Mortal, can these bones live? Oh, Lord God, you know. Because there are times when we just plain don't know. Our age is in the throes of a crisis of hope, and our trust in the potential for progress and change is on the ropes. Holocaust survivor and Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel once spoke of Ezekiel's vision in the Valley of Dry Bones and said that every generation needs to hear it in its own time, that these bones can live again. I think he's right. I think we need to hear that word of hope. That's one of the reasons we come here. Randy and I both agree that here is a people, and as a community gathered in the presence of the living God, we come to see if there is a word from the Lord that might restore our hope, that these bones might live, that the dry bones of our lives might be made new, and that the scattered skeletons of this broken world might be knit together once again. You and I and all of us together are called to share in this prophetic task of Ezekiel, to hear the word of the Lord and then to prophesy to the bones, to witness to the work of the living God saying, "Hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." After all, what happened to the people of a God who seems to take great delight in fashioning and refashioning a people? On this day of Pentecost, we remember that the living God is pouring out the Holy Spirit to form and equip a people who might serve as witnesses to the new life that God is giving. Witnesses to the sight of the bones coming to life. Witnesses who will speak a word of hope here and there, now and then. That we hear the sound of bones coming together on bones as God renews this world. In our reading of the Acts of the Apostles, as the Holy Spirit pours out upon the gathered disciples, it fills them not just with the ability to speak other languages, but also a renewed hope to witness to and share in God's redeeming work in this broken world. This Spirit is renewing the dreams of the church, hope-filled dreams in the God who keeps showing up, who keeps raising up people who are willing to live differently in the face of the powers of anger and hate and hostility that would seek to claim us and draw us into their ways. On this day of Pentecost, I hear the Spirit saying to the church, "Prophesy to the bones, people. Prophesy to the bones and say, 'Hear the word of the Lord. I will cause my breath, my spirit to enter you, and you will live.'" Sisters and brothers, the Spirit of the living God falls afresh in this and every generation. And maybe part of what the Spirit does is renew our hope, like Ezekiel, enabling us to see the world as God sees. As one of our colleagues in ministry recently said, Ezekiel challenges his fellow exiles and future generations of his readers to view their circumstances not through their own limited vision, but through God's eyes. Can these bones live? Of course not. But look at them through God's eyes and watch bones rushing to their appropriate partners. Watch as God's Spirit, which heals hopelessness, infuses them so they rise up a great congregation, testifying to the power of God. Can corpses be brought forth from graves and become living beings again? Absurd. But if we look through God's eyes and watch them come up, receive God's Spirit, and return home, when we raise our vision to look beyond what our own mundane eyes can see, we watch the impossible happen through God's eyes. With those eyes, we can see signs of hope as far as the eye can see, well beyond the dry bones that litter the landscape. We can see doctors and researchers who make great strides in healing human illness, through whom the hope-filled Spirit of God is surely working. We can see refugee families who are yearning to breathe free in this fearful world, who are finding new homes and new communities and new lives that are full of promise. There is life for these dry bones. We can catch glimpses where our work makes a difference, whether for a coworker or our families or in the lives of those for whom we labor. We can behold ordinary people like you and me who decide not to be part of the meanness, the hatred, the greed, the nativism, the racism, and the bigotry that fills our nation and world, but who instead choose kindness and welcome and justice, and who courageously seek to become the change they want to see in the world. There is life in these dry bones. We can see our graduates whom we celebrate this morning as they prepare to take on the world. Young people through whom the Spirit is already working to bring about renewal. You are a sign of hope for us. And we can see the table where a feast is spread before us, and where the Spirit lifts us into the presence of the living Christ, the one who forever draws us into his hope-filled, transforming mission to renew this world that God so dearly loves. My friends, may the whole of our life together be a Spirit-infused ministry of prophesying to the dry bones of this world, reminding them that the work of the living God goes ever on. The God who draws us in and equips us to dream and serve with tenacious love and kindness, and who renews our hope this day and all our days. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen.